Hello and welcome to our new show, actually. This isn't your normal Through Imperial Eyes, but we are Through Imperial Eyes, giving you episode 2 of Imperial Book Club, our new monthly show that we will have monthly, like I just said. And we'll talk about a book that we have read and talked about. I'm Jackson Daleen.
And I am Braden Ledbetter.
And we're your hosts for today. So today we're talking about Bloodline, which was written by Claudia Gray. This was a book Braden had kind of told me about for a good minute. This was your second time reading it?
This is my second time around, and I went audiobook this time.
Yeah, and I read it physically this time. So, and honestly, that might be kind of the trend with some of our other books that we have, because we've discovered that Star Wars audiobooks slap.
They're wonderful.
So we'll be kind of discussing the two different sides of that, which I'm kind of excited to talk about, actually, because I have no idea what, you know, you kind of gave me hints of what the audiobook was like.
But, a lot of great stuff in this book.
Right off the bat, we're going to give our kind of basic spoiler-free review, and then we'll get into kind of the guts. Kind of reworked how I want the layout for the show is going to be. So, and it may change again. So if you guys are listening to
we're just experimenting, y'all.
Yeah. And it just like one episode, it's us rambling. And the next episode, it's like part one, we're talking about this, but part two, we're talking about this. Right. It's because we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah. We're figuring it out as we go along.
No, it's going to be fun. So, right off the bat, right out of the gate, this was your second time you had said, and you listened to it as an audiobook. Overall, how was it as an audiobook? How was it just?
It's great. I think sometimes the narrator does some voices that are kind of questionable, or it's like, oh, you did that voice for that character? Okay. I think it's really funny how one of the characters as well, like the main baddie in this book, sounds exactly like Werner Herzog in The Mandalorian. It's great, but
I know I asked this, but I forgot the answer. It was there one narrator who did all the voices, or was it different people, multiple people?
For the majority of it, the narrator does like all of the. Sorry, I got some dogs barking in the background. Apologies if you can hear it. If you can't, then it's okay. The narrator does most of the voices, besides a few. I know Rin Riven Die, however we want to say it, is a different actor. Tylan Gar is a different actor. So a lot of the older men have different actors for the voices, but for some reason Han Solo is still the woman who reads
That's
it.
Funny.
It's kind of funny. And
does she have a good Harrison Ford voice or
not really? It's just kind of like she just like does one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
Same with like Joff and all that. But yeah, I think for the most part, she does all the voices, which I thought was great. I mean, it never took me off guard and it never like took me out of the book.
How would you compare this book to the other Star Wars novels you have read?
I don't know, because this is one of those books where it's typical Claudia Gray in the sense that it really gets into characters and characters' emotions and like what's going on inside of their heads.
Yeah.
This is a very personal book. I think if you really want to get to know Leia better as an older woman, I think this is the book for you.
Yeah.
Because this is such a strong it's such a strong Leia book, but also Claudia Gray knows Leia like the back of her hand. I think she did the Leia Princess of Alderaan book, and she also did this. So she's spent a lot of time with Leia, and she really knows how to write for her.
I completely agree.
So I'm just going to finish up my thoughts here. And I think that if you're interested in getting to know the politics of the state of the galaxy, this a few years before The Force Awakens and like kind of gearing up into the sequels, I highly, highly recommend this book as well.
Yes. Yes, I completely agree. And you just basically answered my second question about what was the general vibe of the book.
Yeah.
But no, I completely agree. This is very much more of a character drama rather than it being kind of this, I say swashbuckling adventure, but that doesn't mean
there's
that
there, some great there swashbuckling isn't. Moments.
Yeah, I was going to say there is. It's not that there wasn't swashbuckling adventures. No, I completely agree. And you know, Claudia knocks Leia right out of the park. But I will say, to the characters that she created for this as well, are
they jump out of the page.
They are just stellar. They are characters that hit you to your core even when you don't expect it. And everyone I connected to in some shape or form that I don't normally do with books like that.
You know, especially I usually stick to one. Sorry to cut you off, but it's really easy with these kind of Star Wars books where you're introduced to characters that are literature only to be like, oh, wait, hold on. Who was that again? And you got to go back and like kind of remember. Like a lot of the High Republic stuff is like that. With this, you immediately know who everybody is.
Yeah, it's a tight little cast. Yeah,
it's wonderful. And she does a great job as well of whenever there are moments that have to be like a lot of dialogue and like trying to get the characters interact. It is so seamless. It flows well. And you don't even feel bored by it. You're so enamored. And
yeah,
it's great. It's wonderful.
I read this during all of my like breaks at Goodwill. I have like two little 15-minute breaks. And I literally could pound like two chapters just because I would just sit there and just take it in real quick. And
can't
like
put it down.
And then you realize like you're like, wow, a lot hasn't happened. And then you're like, wow, a lot has happened, actually. Yeah. Like there is a bunch of different stuff that's happened that has all mainly been done through dialogue, through people just chatting to each other. But then it's like you said, the mindsets that Claudia does is just it solidifies everything that you need for the scenes and the story overall. And it's just stellar. Do you have anything you want to say left about just spoiler free before we really kind of get into the guts of it?
I don't know if there's much left I can say spoiler free. If I would say that if you are not familiar with a lot of Star Wars, like new canon books, I would say this needs to be one of the first ones you pick up. Because it just it puts you back. If you're even an original trilogy fan, it really kind of fills you in on a little bit of the gaps between the original trilogy and the sequels.
Perfect in between blend.
It takes you to Han and Leia's relationship at this time with their son Ben and all of that kind of thing. It even gets into some stuff with Luke as well a little bit. So I highly recommend, if you are new to Star Wars canon books, I highly recommend picking up Bloodline as one of the first ones you read.
Yeah, you can find it at, I bought mine at Barnes & Noble for like $10 paperback. I don't know if there actually is a hardback version of it, but
I think there was when they first came out. And because you know how like for the first, a lot of times for like the first few months to like a year of a book's run, they'll do hardcover and then the rest of it will be trade paperbacks. That yeah, it's sense. Like one of those situations.
It's cheap. It's quick to read too. It's like, I think about 400 pages.
It's a fun read too.
But it is a very, very fun read. And it gives you a lot of really cool information that, gives you that in between time that I think we're just now starting to learn about. So that's our spoiler free little review. If you don't want to know the rest of what we're going to talk about and what we're going to say, because we will be talking about what's happening, you can shut us off and you can probably skip to whenever, you know, I say this like you need to hear our socials and all that, like you don't already probably listen to us, but you know, skip to the end and we'll tell you where you can find us and all that fun stuff. So we'll move on from there. And we're going to talk about just kind of we'll give a quick plot summary and talk about kind of the events that happen in this book.
So in case you want to be spoiled, we're about to spoil everything for you. So if you do not want to be spoiled, please leave. We are going to spoil everything. We'll give you a second. Okay.
Leia dies. No, I'm kidding.
Han dies. Leia dies. Chewie dies. Luke dies. Everybody dies.
Yeah, everybody dies. And then Episode 7 comes out. Yeah. Like, so welcome to the spoiler review. Welcome to the cool review.
This is where the cool kids are.
This is where the cool kids are going to hang out for the next however long it takes us to do this. This book's killer, dude. This book's so cool.
So good.
We're going to keep the summary pretty quick to it because we don't want to spend the whole hour just talking about the book.
Summarizing the book.
Yes, that's what I meant to say. We are talking about the book. Words are hard. Right off the bat, this book throws you... I didn't realize... reading into it how far past Return of the Jedi it had been.
We're like 20 years.
Yeah, it's like 20 something years. Leia's 46 at this point. And it's very different. That I think my biggest struggle actually was me visualizing Leia that old Without putting her too old, like she is in The Force Awakens, you know?
Yeah, for some reason, whenever I'm listening and reading to this, I just imagine Leia from The Force Awakens, because it's
six years before that. Yeah, and I'm like, to me, that makes sense. Like, that's what she would probably look like. But for some reason, I didn't, and I tried to kind of mix this young and old look with it. And as the book continued, I was able to refine it better.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really kind of different. There's a lot of stuff that they hint at that, you know, obviously is settled into Force Awakens. The biggest thing that comes out of it is, you know, what happens to Leia that kind of puts her in this position to be leading the resistance. And this book does answer that question.
Yeah.
Super cool. I think the big thing right out of the bat is the state of the New Republic.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's a split government, and it's solely ran by its Senate, which is split between two parties called the centrists and the populists. And the centrists believe that the power of the New Republic, it should be ran by like one individual leader. And the populists think more of kind of how it's ran now.
Like the people should rule.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's like each planet should kind of run it themselves, but overall they are part of the New Republic.
Yeah.
And it's very split, and it's very wishy-washy, and the government can't decide on what to do for things. And
it's kind of like it's a commentary, I believe, commentary on Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing.
Very, very, very much. Yeah. And what's cool about that is that it, in its own way, in its own universe, they're able to kind of give you a humanity to each side.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the character like Ransom Castorfo.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of the big thing with him, too, is that so this character, Ransom Castorfo, which I know we've kind of discussed him on previous episodes, mm-hmm. of just Ty that we've talked about. But he is a senator that is a centrist who doesn't worship, but he idolizes the Empire. And his reasoning for it, is that he understands how the Empire was ran and agrees with that rather than the actual person who did run it.
He likes the idea, not the execution.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that was just absolutely just so intriguing. You know, I love that just that mindset of that's how people kind of walked away from it. Because
the fact he has this big artifact collection of all this Imperial stuff.
On top of how much the man hated like Vader, you know, and it's just like he obviously has like personal ties to hating the Empire, but it's interesting enough that he is still willing to look at it and understand it and kind of process how it works. So the basic story of Bloodline is essentially Leia wants out of the government. She's tired of being a senator. And as a last little hurrah, she decides to take an investigation brought by someone. It's like Ryloth. Someone from Ryloth is like, hey, there's a criminal organization that's working out of our planet. Come help. And Leia's like, yeah, I'll come help. Like, I'll check it out. Like, you know, it can't be that bad. And it is that bad. So through conundrums and events that happen, we meet our antagonist. Well, honestly, one of our antagonists. I'm kind of surprised at how much Rin Riven Dai is in this book. Because it's not a whole lot.
He looms over a lot of it.
He really does loom over. It's more of kind of our protagonists and their current character dilemma rather than kind of the like story dilemma. Mm-hmm. So Leia takes this investigation, and since she's a populist and, you know, she takes it in front of the Senate decides to send Ransom Castorfo, who is a centrist, with her as well. And they start out button heads, and then over time they end up really gaining a really cool friendship. But so she takes this investigation and kind of discovers that this man, Nikto. Yeah. Who, somehow started this whole, you know, crime organization, and he tries to bribe Leia with a a holo cube of Leia killing Jabba the Hutt,
which was really cool to see.
And it's so cool. Yeah. And like, she keeps it for like the first half of the book. And like, there's just a bunch of different scenes where it's like them. And it's always like, you can tell it kind of turns Leia cold, you know, like the thought of having to even witness that again is just like, it just, it opens this door that like Leia instantly is on guard. And I just love how Claudia was able to portray that. But you know, a lot of the book is them trying to figure out where to find Rin Rivendai and what to do with Rin Rivendai. And there is this second kind of subplot that sets up where essentially the characters all kind of, you know, bond over their hatred of Vader and kind of just the motivation they have of the New Republic. That's kind of a theme that we'll talk about later, is how the there's no passion in the government anymore. And basically through this subplot, bad guys and villains get their hands on the information that Vader is Leia's father and present it. Well, they let Casterfo present it to the whole Senate, who would then broadcast it to the whole galaxy. And that ripped my heart out. It's a very, very,
especially with an, at a point where like she, her trust is like completely in Casterfo.
They have each given each other their full trust. And it's like,
you can thank Lady Carice
in this scene where it happens. You can like it. Casterfo is described the whole time as just being white as a ghost. And it's just like absolutely just destroyed by this information.
I love that. She, at the end, she kind of, rips Lady Carice a new one though.
Yeah, I know. It's very fun. Yeah. I loved kind of the, you know, at first I was like, oh, it's kind of weird that this is the character who's really like the bad guy. I kind of wish
she's like behind the First Order and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, you kind of and I liked her. I liked her part. Like, it made sense, but I wish it was more. I don't know. There was it's almost like a twist of how like really she is the villain of this book.
I think it was a good plot moment.
No, I absolutely agree. I'm kind of more saying about like, I guess Lady, I think for me, it was that Lady Carice's first little like moments are just kind of like randomly inserted. But like, now I understand why. I just also think it's funny how it's like the woman who like unintentionally like just kind of stumbled upon the information that Vader is Leia's daughter is also the person who like, it's the First Order informant and like has been working in the shadows. No, but it's essentially. So the whole government, you know, everyone finds out, the whole entire galaxy finds out. I guess to assume,
and she hadn't even told her son yet.
She didn't even tell Ben. So this is kind of how Ben finds out, which I don't know. I bet you they don't have holo cubes at.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, but anyway,
I bet you once he did find out, it kind of rubbed him the wrong way.
Fun,
I'm sure.
Yeah. The book ends where essentially, Leia's position in the Senate and just in the overall government is practically worthless now.
Yep.
The government's kind of heading towards
thanks to the murder
doom
of Tyland Garr.
Yeah, there's this whole like subplot about how the government's going to kind of reestablish how it works and establish what they call a first senator, but it's really what the chancellor position was in the old Republic. Yeah. And most of the book, Leia is going like is rumored to be the nominee or the candidate for the populist side. And then the Vader thing happens, that screws over, and this other guy, Tyland Garr, is set up, to which he is then assassinated in the end of the book.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because he's planning on getting the first senator position and then just doing nothing with it.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially wasting it. To try and prove a point, but the point's stupid. Like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
The book kind of ends where Leia realizes there is like this impending doom, which eventually becomes the First Order. I haven't read I want to read The Rise of Kylo Ren. I want to see where that kind of, it's a comic line.
Yeah.
And I want to see how it implements kind of the First Order's like first appearances as the First Order, you know? Because in this, like, the only person who even mentions the First Order is Lady Carice.
And Hadrassian, yeah.
And Hadrassian, and like it's not really a big plot point. It doesn't necessarily need to be. It was more kind of because this was a book that was part of the Road to the Force Awakens line.
Yeah.
So it's more kind of an episode 7 tie-in, but the book ends with Leia starting the resistance with her people because she knows that everything's kind of going to crap soon.
And then she also ends up killing Rinriven Dai in the best way.
Yeah, honestly, I was shocked at how he dies.
Yeah.
Like, it was so, it's realistic.
The whole mission on Sabensko was awesome. Yeah. I want to see that in a Clone Wars episode or something.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, there's, in the third act, there's this, like, operation they go on that's kind of, like, it's the climax of the whole, like, investigation that's been happening.
Yeah.
And
it's so weird because like by the end of the book, that mission just kind of feels like a side mission to get to the real stuff.
Because like the Vader thing happens and then you're like, they're still going to Sibensko? Yeah. Like there's still things to be done. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, no, I agree. It ends in a shit show, but it's so cool. Pardon my language. I'm so sorry. The way Rinriven Dai goes, like, I gasped when it happened because then like everything literally falls apart.
I can imagine you sitting on like your break in Goodwill being like,
no, literally. And like, thank God I wear a mask at work because they can't see like my expressions. Yeah. But I was sitting there mouth open just like, oh my God. Like,
and then
you think like, how many people did Leia kill on Sibensko? Like she drowns half that city.
Yeah, she drowns like an entire like, this tubed walkway a la like the Bad Batch tunnel thing.
Yeah.
It had a bunch of people in it and she just
out of there. She shoots a pipe so perfectly it floods like the entire place.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our ramble summary of
if you didn't read Bloodline. The book, you had no clue what we were talking about, but if you read the book, you should have followed everything.
You're gonna be like, oh yeah, no, I remember.
There'll
that
be a Everyone's, quiz at the end of this
everyone
episode.
Else is gonna be like, what? So we'll kind of get into more of the guts of more of what we felt were fun. I called it our top three OMG moments. Like, what were your top three like biggest kind of like takeaways from this? Like, what were the three moments in this book that like
three moments
really took you, that really were kind of a selling point for it?
So I have to say, I don't know if this is my top three, but I'm just gonna go through a few moments that really stand out to me in this book. I think that first off, Caster Foe, and whenever he is on, I forgot what planet they go to. It's escaping me.
Which one? The first one?
No, whenever he goes to collect the Imperial helmet.
Daxum 4.
Daxum 4. Whenever they go to Daxum 4 and Caster Foe is having like a sparring match with that. Yeah.
Oh, and he just beats the dude. I
thought that was a cool little action moment. But the napkin bombing.
That's one of mine.
Is a really big moment for me that I really reacted to emotionally, for sure. Rinriven Dai's death was a great moment. I think that's up there, as well with the Caster Foe revealing to the galaxy that Leia
that's
is
one of
Vader's.
My second, too, yeah.
And then lastly, I think the last scene of the book, whenever Caster Foe has to get sent off to die.
Yeah, the final interaction between.
Yeah, that final moment. Caster Foe's final moments with Leia, it is heartbreaking.
And it's such a like it is the twist of the book. Like,
yeah, but the thing is, like, it's not like he doesn't like it's funny because back on his planet, he's the one who instated the death penalty for like those kind of capital offenses.
So he kind of he sees this bitter irony with it, and Leia's
haha, came full circle,
hysteric, and he's just like, yeah, honestly, like this sucks, but like, can you believe?
Yeah, like, isn't that funny? That wasn't three, but like those were my big moments of this book that like I really, whenever I think about Bloodline, those are my big moments. Yeah. I think of. What about you?
The scene where Lady Carice finds the box, where
that's a great moment too.
A music box that was hidden
and
for Leia.
And the fact that it's Bail Organa.
I know. It broke my heart. And
it's not just like a little note saying Vader is Leia's father. It's like Bail pouring.
LOL. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Bail pouring his heart out to Leia.
It's his lie. It's his quote of he just says your father has become Darth Vader, and it's just clear as day. And it's like, yeah. Oh, it's so gut wrenching. That's my top three are the napkin bombing, Casterfo presenting the Vader news, and then Lady Carice finding the Vader news.
Yeah.
Another big one for me that's kind of more of like an overall book thing. I loved how Claudio wrote Han and Leia's chemistry.
I
loved seeing how strong their marriage still was at this point. And I always thought that scene in Force Awakens when they first see each other was always kind of dumb and awkward. And it actually really made that scene
hit a lot harder. That's why it's so
awkward. Like, oh, okay, I get it now. Yeah.
She knows how to write Han's dialogue. Like,
yeah,
like it's
I agree too.
It's
that was
great.
One thing. The actual presence that that Claudia was able to give, that it literally made it feel like it was just Harrison and Carrie talking, and I was just blown away by it. Those are my big moments and kind of just the ones that stood out to me.
I think another moment that I really kind of connected with was the moment where Casterfo's talking about his past and about how him and his parents were sent to like this Imperial labor camp,
mm-hmm.
and how like, you know, he was forced to be like this slave for the Empire.
Yeah.
And how he watched Vader kill his parents right in front of him. And I was like, holy, this is deep. This is really deep. And that's the moment where I was like, okay, I like Casterfo.
Yeah. I agree. Because he just has this passion to him the whole time, and to see that alone get shattered and destroyed mm-hmm. was enough for me. So to add all of the other factors that were on top of it, I want to move on and talk about some of our characters, because while we've discussed a lot of the big characters in this, there's some side characters in this that are more just kind of, you know, B player characters that are still very essential to the plot and the story of what it's told. But we get Greer Sonnel, who is Leia's like advisor. She's like her secretary, essentially, but she is a former racer who mm-hmm. used to work with Han. So she's got kind of this cool sense of adventure. And Joff Seastriker, who I actually was a fan of Joff a lot.
He's like this hotshot pilot.
X-wing fighter. Every time they have to talk about the investigation, it's secret business. So he's like, secret mission? He's like, oh, we're going on a secret mission. He was like a dog, you know? And you're like, secret mission. Mm-hmm. He's a ton of fun. I want to talk about what were some of your favorite moments with some of your favorite characters. And I actually want this to be a two-parter. I want to know from the main, like your top favorite characters, but I also want to know from like your like B-list favorite characters. Like what were characters that weren't literally essential, that like for like mine was Tylan Gar. I really like Tylan Gar.
Tylan's great.
But he's not a big character in it. So that's kind of what
I would say he's an essential character. I think she writes everybody in this book to play some kind of integral role, which is great, which I love this book so much too. I really like Joff. I like his attitude. He's very Poe Dameron.
Yes.
I feel like Joff and Poe Dameron would have known each other once the resistance was formed and all that kind of thing. I really like Corsella.
Yeah.
Mostly because she kind of like, you know, she's Leia's assistant and all that kind of thing. She's like the 16-year-old. And she's like an intern. And as soon as she finds out that Leia is Vader's daughter, she's like, man, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But like, she learns from that and comes back and apologizes to her, and you know, she has this really great growth and learning experience in this book. And I really like her as a character as well, especially the fact that we see her and get blown up on Hosnian Prime in The Force Awakens.
You know what's funny is actually there's a part in early in the book, right after the napkin bombing, when Kor has a line where she says they're all kind of speculating who was the bombing, and like Leia gets this message to like a letter to run, and she's the one who essentially senses there's a threat and gets everybody out of the building before it gets bad. And while they're talking about it, Kor says, she says that like maybe they felt bad and wanted to warn at least somebody. And it put this idea in my head that it was Kor.
Like someone forced Kor to do it?
Like Kor is really the one who put the bomb. Yeah. Or at least I expected this twist that Kor was like really working for them the whole time. And more on me, I didn't know she was in The Force Awakens till I read this. But I honestly didn't know who she was before I read this book.
So like whenever in The Force Awakens, I know
what you're talking about.
Whenever they go onto Hosnian Prime, it looks like Coruscant, and they like dolly in on like these all the senators and like people on the balcony or whatever. Corsella is standing right next to that one guy with the weird mustache and the alien guy.
Sorry, Kor. But yeah, so I
don't call her Corey.
Yeah, don't call her Corey. Now you can't.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah, but I expected like this whole twist with it, and then I was like, oh no, Kor's cool. Oh, good for her. I was like, oh cool. And then I was like, oh, she fought in the good for Kor. That's fun.
I think it was funny as well. This was just a funny moment. This wasn't with Kor, but it was with Greer. But it was like Kor is introduced like at this moment as well. It's whenever in the very beginning of the book, after like the whole Bail Organa ceremony thing, Leia goes back into her office and Greer comes in and says she has like an invite for like this dinner party. And Greer's like, should I refuse immediately or tomorrow? I was like, yeah, that made me crack up.
There's a lot of good banter in this book.
Because she's like, of course Leia's not going to want to go.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, should I refuse the kind way or the straightforward way? She's like, how about straightforward?
I always love the insults that Leia and Castorfo give each other, because it just always would get worse and worse. And you're like, what? They're just going to start throwing punches at some point.
Well, yeah, whenever she goes to like confront him.
Yeah, yeah.
And like what does she do? She like breaks one of his display cases and
she throws something at
it. Yeah, something like that. And like she just goes off. He rips him a new one. Yeah. And I was like, I do not want to make Leia mad.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
No,
what,
I agree.
What were some of your favorite kind of non-main characters?
I really liked the conversation between Castorfo and Hadrosen at the cantina when they meet, when he's buying the helmet. I loved seeing like Castorfo in this like analytical like position, because he's, you know, doing his own, you know, secret agent, you know.
He kind of has his own politics on the side of real politics.
And he's like doing it with it. But overall, they're kind of bonding over this and this. It's a royal guard, an emperor and the emperor's royal guard helmet. And it's just like, huh, there's this weird like just sense of offness to it. But it's fun that Ransom is able to turn that into kind of the good purpose. No, I thought it was a very fun conversation. I liked Hadrosen. I liked her a lot as a character. I loved kind of the top three OMG moment. I forgot too. Tylan Gar's assassination.
Oh yeah.
That was one that I gasped at, and like the fact that it was Hadrosen doing, and her final line too. She was, "Don't worry, I'm thinking strategically before offing herself." That one blew my mind. That one absolutely blew my mind.
Like imagine this. I told you this after you finished the book, and I was like, if they adapt any Star Wars book into a movie, It has to be this one. It has to be this one. It's so cinematic.
It's just this awesome. Yeah, it's just this awesome character drama the whole time. And then, like, once everything falls into place, you're just like blown away. And then it's over. You're like, I guess I gotta go watch Force Awakens now. Like,
honestly, yeah.
So moving on, we'll talk about kind of the themes of this book and the story overall. And there's a bunch of different stuff, just kind of emotionally, I would say logically, and more also just, I can't think of the word, but just kind of the commentary and themes that are presented in kind of the status of the galaxy and what does it kind of overall mean. So, yep. What stood out to you? Just, I'll say overall as a theme, what was kind of the big one that stuck out to you?
I think this book is very filled with, I think, themes of, one, trust and trusting in your peers and yourself, because that is especially things with, you know, Leia and Castrofo, Leia and Han, that kind of thing. And there's one thing that there's something that happened in this book that I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of... And it has to do with the Jedi and the galaxy's view on the Jedi at this point in time. Because whenever Lady Carice kind of reveals the galaxy, or I guess Ransom, reveals to the galaxy that Vader's Leia's daughter, and, you know, everybody has their big reaction to it. And Lady Carice kind of goes on about how, since this is the case and they know Luke is Leia's brother, that the galaxy should be afraid of Luke.
Yeah.
And there's this big thing. And I think that kind of feeds into the theme of, one, the Force being like, still being like this mystified, you know, this mystified thing that the galaxy doesn't really understand. And I think that a lot of the time, I think subconsciously, I think Leia feeds into the Force and this theme of just the way she deals with things. I think, especially training with learning that she trained with Luke and everything.
There's a lot of moments where she just senses stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily outright said it's her using the Force. It's just kind of her mindset. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think theme wise, that has a lot to do with, you know, a lot of the Star Wars themes of, you know, choices and, you know, not just trusting in yourself and others, but trusting in the Force and trusting in the way of, you know, trusting in the process, that kind of thing. But yeah, overall, I think this book focuses more on the relationships of the characters and the state of the galaxy. But what about you? What did you point out?
A big one for me was, this isn't necessarily more of a theme with Leia, because this is kind of a common thing with Leia, but it was more of the other characters of, do the right thing.
Well, yeah. You know, I was just going to say, it's also asking yourself, what is the right thing? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the big thing, I think, with like Castrofo.
Yeah.
Is he does a lot of what he believes is the right thing. And that plays, that's kind of given to you right off the bat too. There's a part where he rescues Leia, and it's not really a rescue. He thinks she's in danger, but she's really not. Yeah. She's just kind of talking her way through it.
Her first meeting with Rin Rivendi.
Yeah. And he fucking, oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. We're on book club. All right.
Yeah. Book clubs are at R now.
Yeah.
And he bursts in, guns blazing, and he totally just starts just killing people left and right. And he's like, we got to get out of here. And she's like, I'm okay. Can I finish my tea first? No, but his big theme was, you know, do the right thing. And the big thing he takes out of that is when he reveals Leia, you know, Leia's secret. And in his head, he believes he's doing the right thing, but he's also so clouded by the emotion and the devastation that he kind of endures from it, that it then turns into, you know, like you said, what is the right thing? And this also plays a lot into what you were saying about trust. I would say trust is the overall theme.
This book feels a lot with trust.
Yes.
And it deals a lot with who you should trust, mm-hmm. who you shouldn't trust, or asking yourself, who do I trust, and trying to navigate that.
And to understand that there will be people who you can trust, you know, like Tylan Gar and what was her name? Varish, the other senator.
Is she the one who throws
the big parties? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She does all the dinner parties and all that kind of thing.
People you would hope to stay on your side, and they do. Those naturally good-hearted people where at the end of the day, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's they believe in doing the right thing, and that right thing and specifically was to keep Leia around. Leia is still a honorable and hardworking person who did a lot for the galaxy, and it was just the fact that the information of Vader is presented just completely, everyone turns their back on her, and it's heartbreaking. It's very crushing.
And I think another thing is choosing to be compassionate to people who have done you wrong.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think that is a very hard choice to make, but it is the right choice to make, especially with Leia at the end there.
Yeah.
She could have done a lot worse to Lady Carisse at the end there, but all she did was inform her that she is no longer Lady Carisse. She is now Carisse.
Strips her of her title and walks away.
And she even tells her, like, consider this, like, you're getting off with a warning.
Consider this the slap on the wrist, because I'll do worse.
But I think that also says a lot, you know, to Leia as a character as well, and how we know her as a character.
Yeah. And how that character has grown in this, at this point, 20 years, something span, but even looking further into kind of the end of Leia's life and those last little couple years that she experienced.
Right.
Killer book. So now we're gonna go into our final part. This is our own little fun bit that we do. We'll make a fan cast. We'll talk about our fan cast and who we think should play if they ever did a movie. They should do a movie. Before we get into
that, there were a couple things that I totally forgot to mention in the whole. Ahead. So another one of my key moments that I really liked, and I texted you as soon as this happened, is when Han comes to the rescue on Sabensko, and the dialogue in that moment is so good. And she writes Han so well. I know we already said that, but that is so good.
Yeah.
And then another thing was whenever the napkin bombing happens, this is the first time I think I've ever heard about this, is she's surprised that there was something handwritten on the napkin. Because that was the first thing that anything had ever been handwritten in her lifetime that she knew of.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's kind of wild.
That's such cool world building, because, like, you just, I guess you do never consider it. And, like, looking back at all of Star Wars, like, I don't know what else is handwritten in Star Wars. You
Nothing.
Know?
Yeah.
Nothing.
And then we also got great dialogue moments, like whenever, you know, Cassar Fo's talking about, I think he's being criticized about, you know, believing in the Empire, and he says, my belief is in an empire, not the Empire.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a great line. It's and then there's also another line whenever Leia's chewing Cassar Fo out, and she's talking about how, you know, the Empire did all these things, and, you know, he's kind of daydreaming about how glorious the galaxy would be if we had another empire, and Leia's just like, cut the crap. You know, you get to daydream about a galaxy, about a glorious empire, because you grew up in the freedom and safety that we bought for you.
Yeah, you never got to experience it.
I was like, dang, get him, Leia.
Yeah.
And then one other thing, this is just a funny thing that I caught, is that they kind of give a canonical explanation as to why Leia has a British accent in that one scene in A New Hope. And they say the explanation is because she was mocking Tarkin's accent back at him.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And yeah,
I did forget about that. That's funny.
I also thought, this is my last thing here, I also thought it was weird that this whole book, they refer to the prequel era Republic as the Old Republic.
Yeah, that's, I don't remember what I read that in, but that's mentioned. That might be in Lost Stars too.
It might, it probably is with Claudia Gray, yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of, yeah. Which I think it's funny that there are two Old Republics.
Yeah, there's like the Old Republic, the High Republic, and the Old Republic.
Yeah, right.
But those are my last things that I just wanted to make sure I mentioned before we got out of here.
Yeah. Well, all right. Then we're going to do the fan cast. We'll get through that real quick. So I cast Carrie Fisher as Leia.
What?
No, we're going to talk about just.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I was going to be like, if you had to make Bloodline today, who would you cast as Leia? But that's kind of hard to.
Oh, Billy Lord.
As a 46-year-old Leia, though?
Okay, maybe you got to age her a little bit, but.
Put her in a Halloween mask.
I honestly would still rather have Billy Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
I think even with their de-aging, or I guess aging technology, if they did in that sense, would totally.
Let's cut the crap.
Totally.
What's your caster, Phil?
All right. It's probably actually Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine anything but him because Claudia Gray has explicitly said that she imagined Tom Hiddleston when she wrote.
My other cast, though, is Joel Kinnaman.
What is he in?
He's Rick Flagg from the Suicide Squad.
Oh.
He plays the Republican candidate in House of Cards. It's very caster foe. It's a very caster foe style character. My Greer Sonnel is Stephanie Beatrice. Do you ever watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine? She's a character in that. That's kind of her big claim to fame. Okay. is this character, but she's very much that, like, kind of sassy but like, yeah, strong initiative character.
My cast for Greer, I went a little younger, but my cast for Greer is Zendaya.
I also thought someone like that. Yeah. And I think if anything, if I did recast Core, I would put Zendaya as Core.
Yeah, I went a little younger because Zendaya can pass. She could pass as like high school age, but she could also pass as like mid to late 20s.
Yeah, she's been getting more into those older roles. Yeah. Who's your Joff Sea Striker?
I got Miles Teller.
Mine's Lucas Hedges.
Yeah.
It's that. There's that boyish charm he holds still that I think. Yeah,
I think Miles
really
Teller would be great at playing the hotshot pilot who gets to go on cool missions. I think that'd be cool. I saw another fan casting of him online. It was Josh Hutcherson from PETA from the Hunger Games.
Yeah, honestly, he's probably got the most like looking.
I think maybe like, him from 10 years ago. I don't know about now because he looks like 30 now.
Yeah, that's true. Who's your Lady Carice?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Gal Gadot.
Oh
yeah.
Mine's Elizabeth Debicki.
Okay.
But it was also Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt is how I ended up deciding on Emily Debicki or Elizabeth Debicki.
I don't know. I think I almost like Emily Blunt better.
I think they both would totally. They look kind of similar. So, but like. Yeah.
I think maybe Elizabeth Debicki might be a little young, but it depends because we don't really know her age. So she I'm assuming just like a 30 to 40 year old.
I interpreted. Yeah. Like that 30s area where there's this sense of naiveness. Is that a word? Naivety?
Naivety.
Naivete. To her. But like, then you learn her real intentions and kind of the backhand that she is. And I think of Emily Blunt from The Devil Wears Prada. That specifically was Lady Carice to me.
Well, you know, speaking of The Devil Wears Prada, you know what might be a good cast? If I guess you'd have to DH her, but Meryl Streep as Leia.
I wouldn't be bad at all.
That wouldn't be awful. Wouldn't be.
Meryl Streep is Hedrassian.
You know what?
That totally actually would be a good cast.
Put her
cast.
In there. Why not? I don't know if I can see her murdering Tylan Gar, but.
Don't worry. I'm thinking statistically.
Yeah. Strategically.
Strategically.
So close. What's your cast for? Speaking of Tylan Gar, what's your cast for Tylan Gar?
It's. Oh, my God. I just blanked on his name. It's Ken Watanabe.
Okay. My cast is, this is kind of an interesting cast. You're not going to know him by name. His name is Chow Yun-Fat. He was the he was, you ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean 3?
Yes.
He was the captain of that the Chinese pirate.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Let me get his character's name so everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. His character's name is, bear with me for just a single moment,
Kevin Wong is also another choice for my Thailandgar. Captain Cao Feng.
Cao Feng. That's right. Cao Feng from Pirates 3 is who I'm going for Thailandgar.
That totally works.
Yeah. Well, who do you got? Last but not least, who you got for Rin Riven Die?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Interesting. So if he can't play Thrawn,
I know he won't. So
I have an interesting choice.
Yeah, I want to know
we
yours.
Have to go more for voice than anything. So I'm going Idris Elba.
Ooh, that totally slaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good cast. Ooh.
Yeah.
I dig that.
I would also, he's Snoke, but I would also go Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis can play anything.
Yeah.
Well, damn, we did it. How about that?
What's our final thoughts here? What's our wrapping up thoughts before we get out of here at Bloodline?
This book's so good. It's definitely got to be in your, if you're starting into Star Wars books, this isn't a bad book to start with.
It's got to be in your first like 2 to 3 books you read in the canon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's killer. Claudia Gray knocks it out of the park like she always does. But it was a fresh of breath air to me to see
a fresh breath air.
Sorry.
Words are hard for you today.
I have been working all day, so monkey brain is just on. A breath of fresh air of seeing the galaxy far, far away that we love in a different style of story.
Yeah.
And seeing more of kind of, you know, we've said it so many of this character drama and kind of more of this emotional story rather than the action packed stuff. Not saying there isn't, but that's not the focus of this book.
Yeah. I think this book has everything. It's got the emotional drama. Yeah, it's
just
got
what
the
I was
action.
About to say.
It's got the politics of Star Wars everybody loves. It's got the adventure, swashbuckling adventure that everybody loves. It's
all
kind of everything.
Executed so well.
So good.
Just it's all the strings that were pulled to make this thread were just absolutely incredible. So just round of applause to Claudia Gray knocking out.
Yeah. And if you're not a fan of politics, just finish up the chapter and it moves on. Like this book
it's
moves.
Not, yeah. It, so it's like, not necessarily a political book. There's just like, it's politics in it, but it's not.
But the great thing is, like, just wait till the next chapter, and it'll be on to something else. Like, it's.
And they're
so
quick
well
chapters
executed.
Too. They're fast to read,
like 5-6 pages.
Yeah, and yeah, it does. Its pacing in general is just really well done of being able to consistently keep up its story. So
yeah, you don't lose interest reading this book.
No, you do not. So yeah, that's our review for Bloodline.
Bloodline,
thank you guys
yay!
For listening. We will obviously have our next Imperial Book Club next month. I don't know what we're reviewing.
Review a book, I'm sure.
Is it Revenge of the Sith?
I think actually that's what we had lined up next. Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to
go Revenge of the Sith.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's Revenge of the Sith.
We're confirming it is the Revenge of the Sith novelization for next month for our book club.
Which, you know, will be a fun time to discuss and talk about. As always, you can find us on Instagram at @ImperializedPod. Our Twitter is just @ImperializedPod. And then you can find us on YouTube, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Probably just Google us. I bet you that'll
Yeah, we're on Google Podcast. Speaking of
Google Podcast, but just our simple @ImperializedPodcast. Check us out for our weekly news episodes. There wasn't a lot of news this week, so we haven't really.
But you know what we're getting in 2 weeks? Star Wars Visions.
Yeah, I'm so excited, actually. Yeah. I'm real pumped for and Ronin's coming out soon,
Ronin's coming out soon. Yeah, we got a lot of exciting things. And then in a couple months, we got Book of Boba Fett coming. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. We're going to see a trailer any day now. We got to see a trailer any day now.
Oh, yeah, I bet you. I bet you it'll come out with Visions.
Yeah, I would.
Prediction, I bet you it'll come out with Visions. But
all right, I'll hold
besides
you to that.
The point.
Bet? Yeah, right. You want to bet? $5?
$5. I'll give you a gonk droid that I was already going to give
you. Right, fine. I'll take it. You got to pay the shipping on that gonk droid.
That's fine. I'm just going to hand it to you whenever you get your new house.
Yeah.
As always, you can find me on Twitter, Jackson, at Quacks and Scalene. That's Quacksoon, and Scalene like the triangle. And then you can follow my photography Instagram, which is at Daleen_photography. It's Daleen_photography. Braden, what about you? What about your
you can find me looking at Jackson's forehead at my Instagram at Braden Ledbetter.
My middle part.
Yeah, my Twitter at Braidathlon. And as always, you can check out my Letterboxd at B Ledbetter to see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing. That's all I got.
What'd you watch recently? Anything fun?
I recently watched, so this is interesting. Do you hear the background noise? It is insane. Anyway, I watched Jumanji The Next Level and loved it.
I've heard all of those slap,
actually. Oh, it's wonderful.
I've heard that. And I'm shocked by that, actually, is that that whole
trilogy
slaps.
It's actually wonderful. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, cool, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Leave us reviews. Check us out. Leave us questions. Leave us comments. Do whatever you want with us.
Do it.
But don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Don't do
and
that.
And as always, may the force be with you.
Always.